Yes, you're wrong. The podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. And we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
And we're finally talking about a musician's movie that is not a Taylor Swift film. So exciting. So exciting that I've lived to see this day. If you keep a podcast going long enough, it has to work out for you eventually.
Comes around. There has to have been some sort of biopic we've done. Some sort of
did we do an episode on Bohemian Rhapsody at some point?
Did we do one on J-Lo's film?
I'm like, did we talk about Beyonce's concert film? I can't remember if we did an episode on that. I sort of feel like we didn't because that came out in December when there was probably other good stuff coming out.
We're doing it. We're here. Bratz,
wait, you know what we did do an episode on very randomly now that I'm thinking about this? Remember when we did that episode on the Kacey Musgraves album music video thing?
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. Yeah, I did that.
That
for
must
you.
Have been a real dead week. I'm like, that there must not have been anything else
you
going on.
You were so obsessed. It was honestly like the only thing you could talk about. Like, what else were we gonna do?
I mean, that's true. She really like I feel like she sort of has disappeared in some ways, which is weird.
Yeah.
I loved that album. But then, since then, she's, I don't know. I'm sure she'll be back here soon. She's due for an album. There's a lot of people due for an album, actually.
Yeah.
Like Beyonce, Act 3, I'm like, should be dropping any day now.
Yeah.
That should be on the horizon.
You've read the 19th. Runes, you know the numbers. So when is it coming?
Yeah, it's just like the...
There somewhere or?
Act one and act two had the same basic timeline, which is like the album sort of came out in like late winter, early spring, and then it, you know, like then the tour or whatever was the following year. So I think that we should be getting, you know, like a single or something, I don't know, whatever her rollout is for this. And then the 1975 hasn't had an album in quite a while, and they sort of keep hinting at things, but like, when are we getting a single? Please.
Yeah. Well, great segue. Charlie XCX.
Great segue. Charlie XCX dating George from
She's married, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, they're married now. Yes, yes. As as pointed out by Jason Bateman on that podcast.
I told you those vibes on that podcast are not doing it for me. I do not like them as people. I don't think they should have microphones full time in front of them, especially Jason Bateman. And that story coming out was just like, yeah, okay, this is proof. Like the podcasting said, with full respect to our industry.
Our industry,
the scene has gone too far. It's like too many people are getting on here talking, you know, shooting the breeze with no proper preparation being done. Okay, if you're going to interview someone and like tell them like, oh, I bet you'll want kids when you meet the right person, like you should know if they're married or not, please.
So we're talking about the Smart List podcast, which I didn't realize was a thing until the Golden Globes. I
feel like I told you about it because anytime they come up in a story, I'm just like, I hate these guys.
But it's Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, and Will Arnett have a podcast together where they interview different people. I'm on their Wikipedia page right now. It started in 2020 and has continued on. I'm like, they have done, let's see how many episodes they have done. It's a lot.
Yeah, they did like a whole
293
TV show.
Episodes. Yeah. Charlie XCX was on there recently on episode 291. And she told them that she didn't really want kids. And then Jason Bateman said a sentiment, which I've definitely heard a lot of times from a lot of people, which is like, oh, well, you might think you don't want kids, but then like if you meet the right person, maybe you'll want kids with them. Or another one that I have heard, which wasn't what he said, but like, oh, you don't want kids, but sort of like once you have a kid, then you're like maternal instinct kicks in, so you might as well go for it.
Crazy.
But he said that to her. She was like sort of pushed back on it or whatever. Then he was like, yeah, but if you like meet the right person and get married, whatever. And she's like, well, I am married, famously married this year to George. She's talking about it in her music all the time. I do think that the celebrity podcast, like the celebrity podcaster who's not like Call Her Daddy, who became famous as a podcaster, but like someone right. who's separately famous and then becomes a podcaster.
Yeah.
It is weird because like, I don't know what all necessarily Jason Bateman has going on in his regular life, but presumably he has a decent amount going on. He's still making movies. He like has a family himself. And then he has this podcast. Like, I don't think he's doing very much research, if any research, about his guests. None. It's probably like somebody gives him, like a team, like sort of gives him a set of talking points or whatever, and then they just sort of like riff on it from there. And so it does feel like you are very likely to stumble into a problem like this. I'm sort of shocked that I hadn't heard about more things like this going, or I haven't heard more stories like this from other of these podcasts, because like with Call Her Daddy or like Chicken Shop Date, I'm like, those people, I've seen TikToks where they talk about their process of like research before an interview, and it's like pretty intensive because that is what their job is. Like, they're known for doing this podcast, so like they put time and energy into it, where like Jason Bateman is like working on whatever, you know, Ozark spinoff or whatever is going to come out, and then just happens to be chatting with Charlie XCX like on a Zoom call once a week.
No, it's the chatty podcast where they're just like, oh, we're just chatting. So there's no like preparatory work that feels required. But then it's like, don't sound so, don't play such an ignorant role on like, like just stepping in it in 2026 like that is so eye rolling to me, and like proof that Jason Bateman is like quintessential white old dude now. So
yeah,
it's fine. I wasn't attached to him, but it was funny how Charlie handled that. And I think part of the charm of this movie is sort of this blending of her as a celebrity figure and her as a person, and trying to like match those two. You talked about it in your Substack a little bit, but like,
yes,
Charlie is sort of at this weird place where she's super famous in a way she hasn't been for her extended career before Brat. And now she's getting to play with like a lot higher level of, you know, finances, people, promotional stuff. And so watching her kind of step into that spotlight as someone who became famous because of her, like, you know, edgy, like not off mainstream, you know, kind of ways is interesting. And I think that's what makes this movie a fun choice for her.
It does really feel like, I think we've stumbled upon the like recipe for a good celebrity, which I think Sabrina Carpenter is also doing really well right now, which is like a person who has sort of who's been like a low level celebrity for like a long time. So they've gotten a lot of like the jitters out of the way. They know how to operate. They know how the game works. They're not sort of like stumbling into things and like not and making gaffes because they don't know how stuff works. They're like very seasoned professionals. And because they were at a low level of fame for so long, they really did have to like make relationships within the industry, be respectful. Like, they had to learn how to be well-behaved celebrities because they didn't have the power and the clout to throw around that, you know, a lot of sort of bad A-listers have.
Yeah.
Then when they finally do reach that A-list level of fame, they are more comfortable with it, and they're able to kind of, like, they're excited to have it, but they're more willing to sort of play with things. I think that they know that it could all sort of disappear at any given point just with the whims of the industry, and they could sort of go back to whatever the fandom that they had originally was. It's just, it's fun to watch them because it feels like they know that they shouldn't be taking this for granted, but they're willing to do interesting things. Where I think you saw someone like Chapel Roan, who wasn't, you know, sort of like a working industry person for as long, blow up overnight and really sort of struggle with that and then have to take a break. I think like Lola Young is another person this year who like had to had to, you know, like cancel a bunch of tours and sort of be like, I need to take a mental health break just because they're not used to that level of fame. And I think it'll be interesting to watch somebody like people like the Heated Rivalry Boys, who aren't musicians, obviously, but like navigate. Yeah. Feels like they've done a good job so far, but it is like, yeah, it's a little tricky because they just like blew up overnight. Where Charlie XCX is the definition of like, it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. Like she has been grinding away for a decade at this point. Like I have been a fan of hers for quite some time. I've seen her on tour in venues where it's like her and two backup dancers sort of like doing choreography. Like she has really done it all. So it's exciting to watch her. Yeah. At this point in her career where everything is blowing up for her.
I mean, yeah, I remember borrowing the Fault in Our Stars soundtrack from the library and listening to it repeatedly. That was like boom clap, you know,
boom clap.
Love it.
You want me to play boom fucking clap in a college? Are you joking?
Yeah.
Charlie.
But yeah, so the moment is Charlie XCX's A24 funded kind of mockumentary of the concert film. So they make it very clear that this isn't necessarily real life. And obviously the ending veers away from any sort of reality of the Brat tour too. But it's set up as Charlie XCX, after the peak of Brat Summer, going on tour, the Brat tour, and deciding to do a concert film with Netflix. and so there's a lot of cameos. There's a lot of like, you know, real life intercessions, but there's also a lot of acting going on with this relationship with her usual creative director. And then the Netflix hired director coming in to try and guide the show to a more palatable pop girly moment. So yeah, I was intrigued by this film. Obviously you're more of the like true, you're Brat, you know, you're Brat, and I'm Brat adjacent. I was like, I like the album. It wasn't necessarily my soundtrack, except for the fact that my husband loved it so much that we listened to it a lot. But I was intrigued by this movie, but it kind of felt like, okay, it's gonna be hard to sustain a whole film about like the woes of celebrity. But I was like pleasantly surprised. I found this movie so funny and fascinating and like a fresh take on a very tried topic of like, woe is me, I'm rich and famous. But I feel like it had a lot of interesting things to say about fame and fandom and the psychology of it without ever getting too like, oh, it's so hard to be me. Like, there's a lot of fun to be had and also a lot of interesting commentary on where we are today with celebrity culture.
Yeah, I was nervous when she announced this because it just seemed so confusing to me of like what exactly it was. Like, people couldn't figure out, is it an actual concert film? Is it a fiction thing? Like what is this? Especially before we got the trailer. And it felt like Brat was on the verge of being overexposed. Like, maybe is overexposed at this point. I don't really know. It's hard for me to gauge, like, as a fan, whether or not there's overexposure going on. Because I'm like, well, I was listening to Charlie long before this. Yeah. And I will be listening to this album, like, long after. So it's sort of, so, like, whether or not she's doing photo shoots or whatnot, I'm like, great, more content for me. It is funny that I saw a TikTok recently because this was coming out of like old school Charlie fans versus new school Charlie fans, and some of the old one, like because of Brat, like people, the new fans like call themselves Brats, but the old fans were Angels because, like, you know, like Charlie's Angels. Mm-hmm. And so there was this whole thing of like, you're not even an angel, you're a Brat, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, like I could watch this kind of stuff forever. It's very fun for me. But yeah, I was also nervous about what this was going to look like. It seemed very confusing for me. And the first thing that popped into my mind was The Weeknd's really terrible like music, film, whatever that he did last year. And it was so like up its own ass and like pontificating about things. And you could tell that he really thought he was like a genius when he was making it. And I was worried that this, that that was the direction that this was going to go in, because I feel like at no point was this really advertised as a comedy.
Yeah.
And like, this is a very funny movie. It is a comedy through and through.
Yeah.
And yes, it is saying stuff about celebrity, and it is sort of like a mockumentary of like what Brat would have looked like if she'd taken a different direction with the Brat tour and stuff. But it's, there's so many scenes that are just hilarious, and the writing is so clever. And I think Charlie has a really fun sense of humor, and she really does a great job of weaponizing that in this movie, where she's playing a version of herself, but yeah, one that sort of gets swept up and everything. I just, and there's so many layers of interesting things to talk about in this film.
Yeah.
But the main thing is it's just hilarious. Like, I was laughing in the theater. There's a scene where, so it's, the basic premise is, yeah, that she, it's after the Sweat tour. They're about to start the Brat tour. They're like, okay, we want to make this concert film. We're going to bring in this crazy director played by Alexander Skarsgård, who's going to like direct this. He's done a lot of other concert films. And then, you know, it's Charlie trying and him trying to figure out like, what exactly is this movie going to be? But the first, I don't know, maybe like 30 minutes of the film are sort of like Charlie just going about normal life as a pop star, and them trying to have these meetings about the documentary, about the concert film, like in between things. And there's this scene where she's supposedly filming a Vogue, What's in My Bag? And they're like, okay, well, we have this outfit for you. We're going to have to sew you in on the outfit, but you're not going to be able to sit down. And then like, Vogue, can you like rebuild the whole set in the next 10 minutes that she can be standing? And they're like, oh, well, maybe she could be crouching instead. And they're like, has anyone done a Vogue, What's in My Bag, like crouching before? It's like, no, but we can make it work. It's just, it's so, watching that whole sequence is so funny. And it's especially great because working, you know, in the media industry, I'm like, oh, this is exactly how all of these shoots are like. Like, this is a funnier version, but it is so true. And Charlie wrote on our Substack about, as a pop star, you're just sort of always in these liminal spaces in between things. And it's like, yeah, I think that this is a lot of what life is like as a famous person. It's like doing these random ass gigs that have a lot of people involved. They're very chaotic. They're very last minute. You sort of like just happen to make them work. And then you're like off to the next thing. And it's for what? Like a 10 minute YouTube video that's going to be cut down to a 30 second TikTok clip that people are going to swipe through halfway through. But like, that's what being a celebrity is these days.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, no, it was like very funny. And I think of the moment, you know, because obviously she was a part of this, but it was really with her main, like what I understand is like, he's directed a lot of her music videos. This is his first feature film, Aidan Zamiri, and he wrote it with another up and coming, like, journalist, Bertie Brands. And so they just kind of whipped this up based on a random venting voice memo Charlie had sent Aidan about how she was feeling after the Sweat tour. And so there is like this really like humanist element to watching to watching it, but it's mirrored with such like that Gen Z kind of like outlandish dry humor, and it just made it like a really fun time, and everything was happening so quickly that it was just kind of like this fever dream. And so it was interesting watching the reviews for this, because it felt like you could see how someone would react on it based on their generational closeness to Charlie, and like white old guard male journalists were like, this was garbage. We didn't even get to see Charlie sing. And it's like, well, I can understand how if you were expecting a concert film, you might be disappointed. But like, this served up the chaotic sort of fringe culture, expectation around kind of these less like packaged, less polished pop stars and stars we're getting nowadays, where it's like we want the authenticity, but even that authenticity is packaged. And so getting this like mockumentary style of seeing that packaging and the effect on a psyche and all of that was just like, it was such a fun cross section of my interest that even if I didn't like fully understand the references or every cameo, it was still like every moment was like zany in a new and fresh way that we just like don't see as much yet.
Oh yeah, this whole sequence in the middle where like Charlie's having to promote this brat credit card is so funny.
The
reviews, exactly, because it premiered at Sundance, and so obviously in order to go to Sundance, you have to have a certain amount of money or be at a certain level in your career. It's a more difficult festival for young people and young critics to go to just because it's in a smaller town and it's in a ski resort town. Like, it's hard to get around. It's just more inaccessible. So a lot of the reviews that you get out of Sundance are from more seasoned critics, and a lot of those are people who just are not connected to the Charlie XCX universe. And I do think that, like, while ideally a movie should be accessible to anyone, like, I think the greatest films are things that like anybody could watch and still feel a connection with or understand what's going on. Like, you don't necessarily need to have done homework in order to watch it. I do think that there are some movies where you're just going to get a lot more out of it if you understand whatever the backstory is.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you don't know any of the Charlie XCX sort of like lore, then I don't think this works as well. Yeah. Like, there's so many cameos by people who are sort of like in her entourage, but are like playing different versions of themselves. Like, there's this scene with Rachel Sennett in a club where like Rachel Sennett is sort of pretending to be like a horrible version of herself, and it's kind of like the two of them hate each other. And yeah, I think if you don't know,
but she's a 2 on the Kinsey scale, so it like counts.
She was on Accutane then, so she had funny to get some retouching. Like, it's so funny. But like, if you don't know that Charlie XCX and Rachel Sennett have been friends for a long time, if you don't know that they were in that music, that she was in that music video, and sort of like what the vibe of that was, then I think those jokes are sort of lost on you. And yeah, I did think that it just made sense that there was this whole wave of early critics who were like, this is bad. And then once the fans saw it, they were like, oh, wait, no, this is actually incredible. It's just maybe like Owen Gleiberman, who's been a critic for 50 years, is not like quite getting what this is doing in the same way.
Yeah, because I saw one that was like, it's funny, but not laugh out loud funny. And I was like, I was laughing. Like,
I was laughing out loud.
But it was funny to remember like my theater experience, which is always kind of like sad because I go on like a Thursday afternoon or whatever. Uh-huh. So it's usually like 12 people. But it was like I was the only one laughing, and I was like, am I too excited? But then the lights come up, and it's these like film bros or whatever, who I don't know why they, like, maybe they enjoyed it, right? Like, no, you don't have to be cackling to enjoy it. But it was just, like, interesting to think about how this movie would sit with other people. And I did just, like, find it really smart. And I think it does a disservice to pretend that this was, like, lazy or a drawn-out music video or indulgent or something, because it did feel, like, very earnest in a way that you don't always match with someone like Charlie XCX. Like, it felt like human in a way that was fun and over the top, but still at the heart of it, like, about someone trying to feel good about themselves, which is, you know, the human struggle.
I feel like that is so much of what Brat, the album, is about, is, like, being cool and being yourself and, you know, like, having this certain edge and persona and art, but then at the same time being like a very vulnerable human being and saying like that those two things can go together and that you don't have to sacrifice one for the other, and that both of those things can be authentically you. You know, it's like you can love going out to the club and sort of being this chic fashion icon, but then at the same time have a lot of the same insecurities and worries that regular people do. Yeah. And I think that's part of the reason why Brat blew up in such a way. You know, you listen to like the remix with Lorde, and it's all about these, like, yeah, like sharing your sort of like darkest insecurities in public and finding connection in that and that level of earnestness. And I think that the movie really fits perfectly with the whole, with Brat and the ethos and the era. It all feels like it weaves together really well, because it's that same thing of like, yeah, it's funny and it's wild and it's bombastic, but also within that, there are a lot of really like true emotional earnest moments of like, yeah, what happens if I'm like a pop star and I make a misstep and I lose all of this? Like, there's a lot of fear and anxiety, and you know, that all people have, that she's vocalizing. And again, I think if you're a critic and you don't really understand that that's what Brat is, and then you're just watching this, like, I can see how that would be confusing.
They're like, what is this tonal? One of my favorite parts was she's doing the meet and greet during the like ad campaign for the debit card she doesn't fully understand. And like one of the fans comes up and is like, oh my God, I love you. You saved my life. I drew a picture here. I literally tried to kill myself. And it's like this 20-second like interaction that means everything to this fan. And she's just like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this information? Right. Like, you're given no real context to connect real, like on a real level with another human being who's saying that you're their everything. And to them, to Charlie, it's like, wait, this is like trauma dumping. I don't know what we're doing. I'm just here holding up this debit card. Like, there's such a like veil of, you know, commerciality where it's like a meet and greet. You're getting paid to do this. This is your job, is to just be, oh, smile, you know. But then at the same time, like that artifice is there. But then there's also humans who really are like invested in this culture you've created or this persona you've presented. And I think that's where I was like, oh, like this, it's just a fun glimpse at like how fans are both like the best and the worst of this celebrity experience, I imagine, you know. Like, just there's no freedom there really, even when they're saying that it was your authenticity that drew you to them.
Because in some ways you think like that scene kind of makes you think, oh, like, is she sort of like making fun of these people and saying like, hey, everybody, like, get a life, like stop doing this to me. But then there's a really beautiful scene, I think, later on, where the her sort of like artistic director person is explaining to Alexander Skarsgård like why people are coming to this and how they don't have good relations, like how they probably don't want to come with their parents because they have bad relationships with their parents. And like, this concert is going to be something special for them because, you know, they have, like, Charlie means something because like that fan group and that fandom has become community for a lot of people in ways that family can't. And I thought, oh, like, yeah, they're in some ways, these fan groups are really extreme and somewhat ridiculous in some ways, but then at the same time, like, if she probably did help save this guy's life, and she has done that for lots of people. And I think with these fandoms, like, I mean, you know, with Taylor Swift, like, some of these people like find friends, find relationships, all kinds of things through this online fandom that they do not have in real life. And that is a really beautiful thing to a lot of people and should be celebrated. The layers to this, so fun.
It was fun that it's like, this is all kind of a joke if you like step back and think about like, okay, there's 57 people on Vogue who are doing this thing for this celebrity to talk about what's in her bag, which we all kind of recognize is all scripted. She doesn't actually know what's in her bag. It's all to sell something. And so there is like so much artifice involved in creating these celebrities. And so it is easy to like want to point the finger and say like, oh, joke's on you, you stupid fans for buying this. Like, we just laugh at you. But then it's also true that it's like, I don't know. It's just like a fun house of mirrors where everyone's like, yeah, this is messy. We all look dumb at some point. We're all selling out at some point. We're all like missing the joke at some point. But like, it never felt like it was punching down or like, you know, sticking its nose up at the idea of fan culture or the idea of celebrity. Like, yeah, she makes some some pointed jokes at some of the pop girlies, but it wasn't, but even that, it was just like, this is a specific film about a specific moment. And sometimes those moments don't have to be for everyone. Like, it's like, which is kind of what I took from her AD, who was like, well, yeah, this is supposed to be for something very specific. It's not for everyone. It's for people who want to sing about cocaine and want to be at the club with Charlie. And that's supposed to be good enough, but you're trying to make it for everyone because that makes you richer and that makes you more popular and blah, blah, blah. And so just like that dichotomy of like having to pick which lane you want to be in, but both of them kind of, I don't know, mirroring the same sort of artificiality, it just became a really fun way to explore that dynamic without ever really making it like smug or kind of judgmental in either way.
Yeah, it's very like you can hold two things at the same time that can both be true. Like, yeah, the celebrity culture can sort of be frivolous, but it can also be very meaningful at the same time. And you have to, I feel like the only way that you can sort of make that work is by recognizing that both of those things can be true and trying to balance them and think of them in your mind.
Yeah. I mean, how funny that it's like the crux of the movie comes down to her being told her skin is dry because she carries too much tension. And then one of the Kardashian sisters being like, no, when someone says you're not doing well, you have to go harder. Like, it's just like, and that's what inspires her to give in to this idea of like, okay, we'll do the mainstream version of Brat and I'll sell out because I don't see another way out of this monster of my own creation. And I think that too is just like, funny, but it's not because she's making fun of the Kardashians. She is friendly with Kylie Jenner and like she does have these celebrity friends. So it's clearly not making some sort of commentary on like the sellouts or the commercialism of pop stardom, but it is having fun with her psyche at the time.
Yeah, and the Kylie Jenner scene is so funny. I loved that sequence. One, because Charlie does look so bad in that. Like, I love when a celebrity who is beautiful and famous and whatever, like, really just looks terrible in a movie, because I think it does show that they have, like, that they're not as vain as you maybe think that they are. And then to bump into Kylie, who just looks like glowing, like the most beautiful version of her that has ever existed in this spot. And I thought Kylie was very funny. I was worried that she was going to be stilted in a Kim Kardashian in All's Fair sort of way, but I thought she did a good job. Granted, she's like sort of playing herself and she's only in one scene, but I really thought that she did a nice job. I thought everyone in this movie was really funny. And for having a lot of sort of like non-actory kind of people, like everybody was great. I loved Kate Berlant as the like makeup artist person who's like telling her not to drink water. Yeah. Isaac Powell was incredible as like the gay social media person who just like is mostly in the entourage but is technically there for social media,
even worried, though they're like, she's dead.
So yes. Yeah.
Don't Rachel tweet this. Yeah.
Rachel Sennett scene is great.
I mean, even the like Skarsgård's doe-eyed assistant who's like in her face.
The sequence doesn't where have she's a just single staring line. At Charlie and Charlie keeps being like, what is going on with her? So funny. I was cackling at that one.
No, it was so fun. And it was like, I really liked how they shot it where it was more like a music video. Like the camera's always up in their faces. It's not like watching like Abbott Elementary or like The Office where it's a mockumentary, but there's distance and there's lighting and there's microphones. Like it felt very like handheld. We're going to get this shot no matter what it costs. And like, there's a scene where they're shuffling around in the limo trying to get on a Zoom call. And like, the camera's like right up in Charlie's face because she has to switch seats. And so it's kind of blurred. So it all felt like really authentic, which added to sort of the fun of the artifice discussion it was having.
Yeah, well, and having to take a Zoom call, like all of that was just so realistic for dealing with celebrities. They yeah. are, like, their publicists are forcing them to do all kinds of random stuff in, like, these small five minute increments in between doing other things that they truly have no idea what's going on. Yeah. Like, I think it was Catherine O'Hara maybe was talking about this in an interview that surfaced after she passed away, of how, like, she'll be somewhere and someone's like, okay, this is a trend, like, you need to say this, and she's like, I have no idea what the trend is, I've never seen the video of this, like, I just have to say whatever they tell me. And then you wonder why sometimes these things, like, don't work out. It's like, she's like, this was not my idea, I had yeah. no idea what was going yeah. on. But they were like, okay, you need to say I'm passing the phone to blah 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 blah, and she's like, sure, like, I'll do it.
Yeah, there was so much, like, random, like, at one point one of the side, like, the CEO or whatever of the label, someone comes up to her and is like, excuse me, they exploded your luggage. And it's like, what does that even mean? It's just, like, nonsensical, but it just adds to this, like, sense of chaos, and everyone's always falling apart and there's always a fire to be put out and no one's really communicating. And, like, not to be like, oh, poor celebrities, like, they don't know what they're getting into. But it is, like, funny that the main, like, the final issue of the film is that there are, like, riots in the streets, like, burning of brat flags because Charlie accidentally caused a run on a bank for this debit yes. card. And it's, like, it's so extreme and over the top, and, like, there's, like, flags, and it's like literally cities are burning. But then at the end of the day, she's just taking a nap and she gets up and everything's fine, and her tour is a huge success and whatever. And so it's like having fun, poking fun of this, but also, like, highlighting how bonkers it must be to be in that environment where there's 75 other people who you can blame pretty easily. And yeah, I don't know. It just became like, it was just a lot of fun.
It's watching things like this that are like, I would never want to be that famous. Yeah. Like, being famous, I think, is actually, like, you really have to be a specific kind of person to really want that. And I feel like yeah. the two options are, like, you are such a narcissist and you're just, like, obsessed with whatever attention you can get. Well, or I guess three options. There's that. Okay. Then there's the, like, okay, I want the money. So, like, I need okay. to do this because I want to be rich.
Yeah,
but success. Then I do think that the third option is, like, there are
I'm just talented.
People who are artists and who like doing what they are doing sort of almost in spite of that. You know, like, I think, like, yeah. a lot of actors love acting. They love being in movies. And in order to get the juicy roles in these big movies, you, like, have to be a celebrity. But it's like, they don't really want, it's like, they're not really doing it to be a celebrity, although I'm sure that has lots of perks to it. But it's like, they want to be an actor, and that is what is going on. A random side thing that I just realized. So the girl who plays the, like, creative director in the film, I thought did a really good job. Mm-hmm. Haley Benton Gates, who I had not, she looked familiar to me, but I couldn't figure out who she was. And then apparently she was in Challengers. She's mm-hmm. like the girlfriend. She's like the girl at the bar with Josh O'Connor, who, like, Josh O'Connor leaves to go talk to Zendaya with. You know mm-hmm. that scene in Challengers? Mm-hmm. Like, she's like a real estate agent or something. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly. But also, she's the writer and director of this movie that I just saw called Atropia, which I thought was so funny. It's about the actors who were, like, back during the Iraqi war, they set up the military, like, set up these fake villages in the desert in the United States where soldiers could go and, you know, like, sort of like, do role play exercises yeah. or whatever. Yes. And it's about the, like, actors who are, like, have gotten hired from, like, LA to, like, pretend to be, like, you know, Iraqi locals in these, like, war play scenarios, and how, like, and the, it stars Alia Shawkat is like the main person. Uh-huh. And it's like, oh, if you're good enough at this, like maybe a talent scout will find you. So the sort of the various people are like always trying to fight for the like the big like, oh, I wanna like be the suicide bomber this time. Like that's like the meaty role that you really like can sink yourself into. It's so dark, but was so funny. And I'm like, okay, it makes sense that she's also like this, the senses of humor are the same.
Yeah, she's in on this. Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, should we talk about the Taylor Swift of it all? Because I feel like I thought I was going to see more headlines about this. Well, it's like there's that, but then also people don't seem as up in arms about the comparison as I thought they were going to be. I don't know. Maybe the Swiftie universe is different. But
I mean, I think the Swiftie universe has decided like Charlie's position is like she's the little chihuahua barking in the purse.
Gotcha. Okay.
There's a whole early sequence where the guy pitches the light up bracelets, which they say is like Coldplay does it, but it was like very clearly, I mean, that's like something that was, I want to say she was the first one to do it, but I don't know that for sure. But very Taylor Swift concert-esque of having the light up wristbands. But then the biggest like petty dig I felt was the final montage of what Brat Tour ended up being once she sold out to the to the Netflix of it all. And there's like a sequence where she has backup dancers and they're doing their little like chair striptease, and it all did feel very pointed. And it's like, I honestly like, I love the pettiness of it. I really do indulge in that. I think it's so funny. And I think the reverse could be true too. Like, to me, Charlie and Taylor are like, I mean, equals in a way. Like, obviously Taylor Swift is a billionaire, blah blah blah, but it's like they're both peak celebrities, they're both at their peak, they're both like, you know, existing with bigger and many more problems than each other. But it's funny to imagine this being the like beef that defines them, and just the like shallowness of it all, really. So I found pleasure in it. I would hope that Taylor Swift could find humor in it too. I don't think she will necessarily, and I don't think she'll ever be in a position to make a similar dig back at Charlie. But it was funny.
Well, I mean, I sort of feel like the whatever dig that Taylor Swift would make would come in the form of a song rather than film like this.
Yeah.
And we sort of already did see that with her whatever that Isn't terrible song in Life of the Show Girl was. Yes. It when I watched this, because I saw it in an early press screening, I was like, oh, this is such a funny dig that like the worst nightmare scenario for Charlie XCX is that she would have to make a concert film that would be like Taylor Swift's Eras Tour concert film, when obviously that did so well and made so much money and I'm certain will make infinitely more than The Moment ever does.
Yeah. And I mean, she experienced it. Like, Charlie opened for the 19 for the Reputation tour. And so Charlie was like in that world, and I'm sure she saw a lot of like, how do we make this work for a stadium audience, and like how different that would be and how like weird it was. And yeah, she's like stepped in it a few times where it's not for her, and I think that's okay. Like, she's said, like, you know, the Swifties will like call out the time she said it was like singing for a bunch of 12-year-olds, and how that was like insulting because there's more than just 12-year-olds in the Swiftiedom, blah blah blah. Like, sure, but I think if you are standing in a half-filled stadium with girls in their little like fringe dresses, it's probably weird to sing, to know that your most popular song is always going to be boom clap for that crowd, you know?
Right.
Like, it has to be sort of discombobulating. And so I think having her go through this journey here was honestly sort of like a Tinder response to like having lived that choice out already. And so she gets to do it in fiction here, but still maintain her like more honest truth in her real life artistic experiences, you know?
Well, I also do think like, while Brat is a very specific vibe, like Charlie's older stuff in some ways connects really well to Brat, but in some ways is a lot more like mainstream pop star, or like wants to be that.
Yeah.
You know, like when she was doing the Crash tour, like that is an album that sounds a lot more like Brat, but the tour itself, it's like she's doing choreography, it's like light colors, she sings Boom Boom Clap. I think the Brat tour and the Sweat tour sort of like came out of her just being like, well, I'm sort of, well, or the Sweat tour at least, like sort of came out of her being like just tired of doing that and being like, okay, I'm just gonna like, I want to do the tour I want. We probably won't get enough people, so I'll like partner up with another artist and maybe the two of us can sort of like cobble together enough people to fill up these stadiums. But I remember when Brat, like when the tickets went on sale for the Sweat tour, it was like they were sold out in New York and LA. Like you couldn't get those anywhere. But there was all this talk about how if you went to other cities, there were like tickets for $12 because nobody wanted to do it. And it wasn't until Brat Summer like really took off that all the rest of those became so big. And then she went on the Brat tour. So like in some ways, I think an earlier version of her would have almost liked to make this concert film, but she was never popular enough to make a concert film until after she had like moved on from the era where she would have done something like this. The Taylor Swift of it all is so funny. And also, it's interesting to think about Charlie and Taylor from a performance standpoint, because I think really in a lot of ways, no offense to Charlie XCX, but like Taylor Swift, I think, is more talented in that she's a better vocalist. I think that she's probably in some regards a better songwriter. And it's not like Charlie's a fine dancer. I think like she can do choreography in a way that Taylor Swift obviously is just unable to do, but it's not like one of them is like way more talented than the other. So to watch them sort of take these vastly separate approaches to how to stage a concert when you really don't have that many talents to be putting on display is interesting. And the fact that they're sort of like, well, you're doing it like the stupid way, where Taylor Swift is like, we need light up bracelets, we need fireworks, we need this, we need a million backup dancers. I'm just going to sort of stand here. Like I can maybe do two beats of like a step tap and that's it. And Charlie's like, no, we're getting rid of all of that. Instead, I'm just going to sort of like walk around
and
on the ground. I'm going to have a lot of auto tune. Like, so funny. Their different approaches.
Lovely dresses. It's like, I think that's part of it goes back to like what you were saying about what they want from their fame and their careers. And Taylor is very like methodical, very controlled, very aware of how to become successful. And that's been her whole thing. So now that she is successful, it's sort of like, well, what now? Like she's breaking records, she's gaming the system, but it's sort of like she's on her own level. And I'm curious to see what she can do now that she's gotten everything. And that's sort of the question at in the moment where it's like, this is everything I should have wanted. Why do I feel so unhappy? And what do I do to like reclaim myself? And for her, it's like putting a bow on this era and being like, okay, I'll sell out. But maybe that's just a way to kill off this like Frankenstein version of me where I don't recognize myself anymore. And kind of, like, well, what does Charlie want? Like, is she just going to be more zany, like creative in a million different ways, or will she be like what is her next album gonna be? Like what is that tour gonna be? Like what do you do once you've kind of peaked in a way, but then also decided to like stand your ground and be like, but I refuse to do just this, you know?
I think that the thing that's different about or one of the things that's different about Charlie and Taylor is like, what are their end goals?
Yeah.
And I do think that Taylor Swift, it has seemed like her end goal is always success.
Yeah.
Like in whatever that looks like in money and records, in people taking her seriously, in having the last word, mm-hmm. like it comes in different forms, but the end goal is always like the, like to do well, to succeed and to do that better than anybody else does. It doesn't feel like, oh, she wants to break these records because she like wants the money or because yeah. she wants the whatever. Honestly, after that Nikki Glaser line about Kevin Hart of like he, or no, it was Wanda Sykes, where they were like, oh, you like need this the least but want it the most, and how that was sort of like a dig. Did you see that at the at the Golden Globes? Is that where that was? I'm like, that really like stuck in my head for him, but also for Taylor Swift, where it's like, yeah, for whatever reason, like you don't need any of this, but you want it more than anybody else. And it is sort of strange, but I think part of that is just that what the thing that she wants is the success. And now that she sort of has that, it feels weird. And there's almost like a certain sadness to it in that, like, where does she go? There's not really a place for her, because the thing that she always wanted, she got. And then now, like, where does that end? Where I think for Charlie, while she wanted success, yes, she really like wants to create things. Like, I think that she really enjoys the process of being creative in ways, whether or not those things are successful. Like, she likes doing these weird, you know, music videos, or to do the Wuthering Heights soundtrack or whatever, that are not necessarily going to bring her money, and they're not things that she's always necessarily good at. They're just like things that she's interested in. It feels like she could have a career that goes on forever, not in that she would be successful at all of these things, but there's just like lots of stuff that she would like to do and try, you know? Yeah. Like, if someone comes to her and is like, hey, like, we want you to, write a play for Broadway, it feels like that would be something that she'd be like, yes, oh, like, that's sort of an interesting, weird challenge. Like, maybe I am interested in that. Not in a way that's like, oh, I need to create something successful, but in a way that's like, oh, like, if I have a friend who's a playwright and I can work with them and we can make something together and it could be a fun time coming up with something, then, like, sure, I'm in.
Yeah.
Where, well, that doesn't feel like Taylor would do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, and it'll be interesting to see how she can extend that. Like, I think that's sort of the anxiety in the movie, too, is, like, is Charlie destined to sell out? Like, you know, she's doing her Super Bowl commercial. She is more famous now. Sure, that opens more doors, but with more doors, like, do you just lose more and more of yourself? And so it will be like interesting to watch someone navigate that in a way that she's opened it up to us differently than other celebrities have, like where she makes a movie like this where it's like, I don't want to sell out, but like it's pretty tempting, like it's pretty easy to feel like that's the only option in this economy, and kind of like, well, what does selling out mean these days, you know? Like, is it so wrong to can we not contain multitudes? Can I not be the poppy spokesperson and also be the creative artist with nothing to lose?
I mean, well, some of it is just like practicality of like, if you want to be, if you want to do stuff, you need to like make money.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, like they're always talking about that with actors of like one for them, one for me, kind of like, okay, you go do your Marvel movie so you make all of this money and then you can afford to work on these movies that don't make any money and that you can lose money in making because they're important to you for whatever reason. But like even this, so I interviewed A.G. Cook for Vanity Fair. He is like a longtime Charlie collaborator and he worked on the score for this. And he was saying that like basically Aiden, who has worked on with Charlie on a lot of her music videos, was like, hey, like I sort of want to make a movie. And she was like, yeah, like write a script. Like, if we can make it work, like, I think it would be fun to do. It felt like it was a lot less of a sort of like, okay, we need to make something to make something. And a lot of more of like, oh, I have a friend who wants to do this. I'm interested in making movies. I'm interested in taking, you know, these like tiny roles in weird indie films because I enjoy doing that. So if a friend like wants to make this and we can get it, we can get the money for it because of the Brat thing, like, sure, then like, let's do it. Even though it's weird as hell and probably like won't, like, I mean, I guess, I don't know. It has, it had a $4 million budget. So that's like not that all of that much.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the filming was sort of done in spaces that were already, you know, like that they were already had there, like the, you know, like the rehearsal space and stuff. Like, I don't think this was a big, like a super big budget film, but yeah, it does, it does feel like, okay, she's just kind of like doing stuff that she's interested in, which I like.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was fun. It was funny. It was like fast. It was quick. It was sharp. And I feel like I'd watch it again, which isn't always.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of gimmicky films.
No, I would definitely watch this again. Yeah. Do you think that we will get any sort of response from Taylor on this?
No.
Whether in an album or not?
No, because I think the only way to read it is sort of like, oh, why are you so obsessed with me? Like, there's not more to say at this point. So it'd be like, if she wants to keep that as her read on the situation, she cannot comment on it again until something more like explicit were to be said, you know?
That actually is so interesting. Like, she did sort of box herself into a corner with that, where she's like, why are you so obsessed with me? I don't even care. Or it's like, she obviously does care, but now that she said that, she can't like keep on caring, you know? She has to be like, well, like, she's obsessed with me, which I think must drive Taylor Swift mad.
Yeah. And I feel like also there's a universe in which this has not hit Taylor's desk, just because, like you said, it hasn't made, like, the movie's not that big, it hasn't made that big of an impact, and not everyone has made that connection. And so if she's pretty like isolated at this point, then it's like, you know, what can she really like see?
Well, it's less explicit.
Yeah.
As well. Exactly. Because there is, because it's like, like, has Taylor Swift ever like flown around in her concerts? I feel like that's not something she does.
She's been on
like risers things, and stuff.
Like, like how beyond, and that's the thing, is like every pop girly you could trace back to this idea of like a really accessible aesthetic, like sparkly tour. You know, it's like,
well, and it reminded me of like Pink in a lot of ways. Like the, like, you know, like some of that is Katy her Perry. Energy. Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. Like the glittery lighter was very Katy Perry coded. Yeah,
the flaming lighter that she's in for no reason. Like, can't it's
here. She's like, why am I in? You get in here. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So good.
So funny. So there's distance to be found, you know, but I do think the two divas will forever take jabs when they can. I just don't know if it'll be this moment specifically.
I also loved the scene, the sequence, which is so stupid, of the like mannequin just like plummeting to the ground and then being like, oh no, it'll be fine. Like, you can go up there. Great.
She's like hanging there. She's like, does this look lame? And no one will say anything.
The green eye makeup, the like the pieces of green in her hair.
Yeah.
Incredible. I guess the real question with Taylor is, what is will the 1975 say anything about her? Because
probably.
I don't think because we haven't had an album from them since that relationship, I don't think.
Yeah.
And then also obviously now there's the Charlie component as well, because you know, she's married to one of the group members.
Yeah.
And the 1975 is a very like lyric heavy band, even though I only understand about 20% of the things that Matty Healy is saying.
Yeah. So. No, I'm sure there will be a lot of, if not explicit, like the fans will read into it as much as they can, and the haters. So I feel like it'll be very rich with assumed Taylor Swift references.
And then that can sort of steal some of the attention away from Charlie. If they can aim that at.
Well, no, Taylor's getting married. She's like so beyond this. It's like, whatever. She doesn't care anymore.
Yes, I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah.
Good old Taylor Swift getting married. Do we have a date on that? Have there been any other details that have come up?
Well, if we had done our pop culture roundup, I would have talked about this. But supposedly there are NDAs that came with the invites. So they had to sign NDAs before getting the information on the date and the location.
Okay. But how do we know that invites have gone out?
Graham Norton spilled the beans on getting the invite with the DNAs. I mean, the NDAs. Okay. And then someone else too, I think. But yeah, I feel like it'll be – like it's interesting to think of like other celebrity weddings and like how they navigate paparazzi and like curiosity about it. I'm like, is Taylor going to like post to her grid again? Like, oh – we got married. Or will it be like, will there be a people spread? Like, I can't picture that, but it's like, it will be weird if we don't get anything.
Well, it feels like they get like the only way that I could see them doing like a publicity thing would be if they did like a Vogue cover, which does feel very like that
it's
that
like
could easily
I could
be a
picture
thing.
It, but I also couldn't, so I'm like, I don't know.
I feel like I could picture it. The thing that is the weirdest about it is that the last person who did that was Jeff Bezos's wife.
Oh,
so
gross.
That feels weird to me. Yeah. In like a okay, like do you really want to get that instant comparison? Yeah. I don't know if like Taylor or her team is necessarily thinking about that, but that seems like it, like she's not doing a people cover. She's like, it would have to be I think Vogue is the only one that she could do for that regard. But then if you're not doing that, I guess then what are you doing?
Because she like hates paparazzi. Like she's, you know, gone out of her way to rob them of any sort of financial gain on her image. So it's like she is either going to have the most private ceremony we never hear anything about, and then all the fans can be like, oh, that's just so romantic, she kept it to herself. Or she's going to do like a sort of Selena Gomez-esque, like, I'll post the photos.
I think it must be that.
Yeah.
Because I think if you want the super private wedding, number one, I don't think you're posting the engagement photos. Like, Zendaya and Tom Holland have, like, private wedding energy. Like, you're not hearing a damn thing from them about any aspect of their relationship. And also, I guess I don't really know Taylor Swift's, like, relationship statuses with people. But, like, it does not seem like Graham Norton is somebody who is, like, very close personal friends with Taylor Swift.
No, it's going to be a big wedding.
If you're asking the likes of Graham Norton to come to your wedding, then it feels like it is going to be a very large, celebrity-filled event.
Yeah.
And if that's happening, then people are definitely... And it just feels like with Taylor Swift and the sort of, like, in-crowdiness of it all, like, she's going to want... like the Haim sisters to be like posting about the wedding.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no.
Like, oh, here's like behind the scene pictures of like me, blah, 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 blah. Like that feels like stuff that she wants. So maybe she'll do something where it's like she's posting, you know, like initial stuff and then everybody else can sort of post their things. And so instead of like any articles firsthand, we're just getting all of these different other celebrity here's Graham Norton. Like that kind of a thing.
No, it's interesting. I feel like it's this year, but I don't know when.
It's also going to be hideous. It's going to be hideous. Like I just know
this one was cute though. Like it's floral, you know, like you can't go, it's hard to make a wedding hideous.
I just know so deep within my bones that there are, like, I would
be
absolutely floored. Yes. If the photos of this came out and I was like, wow, this is like stunning and original or whatever. Like, it's going to be bad. And I know that it's going to be bad. I know that I'm going to think it's bad. And I'm already excited about the sort of discourse of like, oh, this is like the basic wedding to end all basic weddings. Like, you had Charlie XCX, where it's like, she had the Hackney Courthouse thing, then she had that party in Sardinia or wherever it was. And it was like, both of those weddings just seemed so like her, and they both worked in such a way. And I'm like, Taylor Swift is not going to be able, like, is not pulling off cool. It's going to be like a lame ass wedding. I am interested to see where it is going to be, though. Like, will it be in, like, where would she, like, will it be in LA? Will it be in Kansas City? Will it be a destination wedding? Like, where do you think she would go? Will it be in her house?
I feel like it could be Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
I feel like it would be East Coasty. Because she's not very rooted in LA. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like either like maybe like Nashville thing or probably one of her Rhode Island houses.
Yeah. The Rhode Island thing makes sense. Although, isn't that house kind of like exposed?
Yeah, that's the thing.
I guess that's my other question. It's like, would she want to do like an all indoor kind of a vibe?
Yeah.
Because then you don't have to worry about paparazzi.
Yeah, exactly. So who knows?
Maybe she'll do it at like Westminster Abbey or something. I guess she's probably not doing England, given all of the
her exes,
Joe Alwyn stuff. Like, I think that she's
so funny.
Had to have relinquished the country. Do you think he's getting an invite?
No.
Do you think any of Taylor's exes will be there?
Be there? I guess there's a universe in which Taylor Lautner, he's like kissed the ring, you know? They've made friends with each other.
Yeah.
Harry Styles, I don't see being there, but if everyone's going, then like maybe he'd make the cut.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Still waiting for my invite.
We don't think Charlie's getting an invite.
No. That'd be great, though. I mean, her and Katy Perry made up from there. Totally.
Yeah, well, Katie, do you get an invite?
I mean, it sounds like pretty much, at least when she was going around on her like promo tour, she was telling all these radio guys like, oh yeah, this is going to be a big one. Of course you'll be invited type thing. So it seems hard to like go
radio
back on
people that,
they would be
invited.
Yeah. I mean, in her world, it's like she's done, the way she pitches it is like, they have some sort of relationship. I don't know how deep or heartfelt, but like, you know, it's been like 20 years of a career or whatever. Talking to the same guys.
Yeah.
But no, she really sold it as like a big blowout kind of wedding. So I feel like everyone. Beyonce will be there, don't you think?
See, I really don't know.
Just because it's like the party. Like, if you got an invite, you'd go, you know?
Oh, no, 1,000%. I'm just like, I...
And she likes being, you know, she's the squad goals girl. Like, I think it'd be hard to, like, not milk that for all it is on this day that you just, like, grow up thinking is the most important thing of your life, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Beyonce's so weird to me because I feel like Beyonce's like the one person who is still sort of like above Taylor Swift in Taylor Swift's mind. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that most other people, Taylor Swift would view inviting them to their wedding as like, oh, like I'm doing them like a kindness sort of energy. Where I think Taylor Swift would be one of the few people, or Beyonce would be one of the few people where she would be like, ooh, like they might say no. And also like maybe they would upstage me in some regard. Like, I don't know. I feel like that there's an energy there that there's not with anybody else.
Yeah.
At least unless you're talking about like the old school people.
But they did their movie tour together and stuff.
Right, they did. But I don't know how much of that was like, like how much of that was truly like just a publicity shoot versus how much if they ever really speak to each other.
Yeah.
Will Blake Lively be there? Do you think that
I know, right? I don't know. Have they
made up enough?
I guess maybe
that's a better question of like, who do we think is not getting it? Like, do we think Karlie Kloss is getting invited?
No, but they were lovers before, so it'd be uncouth for her to be there.
I mean, exactly, but they're supposedly friends. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think they've been selling the friend thing for a while. I think that'd be weirder for her to be there. I think the Blake Lively thing is interesting. I feel like she'll be there.
Remember when Carly Kloss was in the nosebleeds at that Taylor Swift concert?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you're in the nosebleeds of a concert, you're not going to the wedding. But if you were invited to the box seats, like maybe, you know.
So Greta Gerwig might be there.
Greta Gerwig might be there.
Hugh Grant. Like, who else has been in the...
Yeah. Honestly, probably Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Oh, yes. No, that yeah. They seem exactly on brand to be there.
Lena Dunham, for sure, unfortunately.
Jack Antonoff, Margaret Qualley. Yeah.
Well, yeah. That'll be the tell. Is like some people are like, have they had a falling out? Like,
maybe the, maybe an interesting... Okay, let's play an interesting game to end this. to end
episode
this
episode on celebrity episode. Culture. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Of the people... In the Bad Blood music video, how many of them will be invited to the wedding? I'm like, where is the... I'm looking for the
Zendaya.
List.
Zendaya was in that.
Who are in this. Okay, people. Okay. Taylor Swift. Selena Gomez.
Yes.
Definitely yes. Kendrick Lamar.
I mean, he'll be invited, I bet.
Okay. Lena Dunham. Yeah. Yes. Hailee Steinfeld. Are they still
interesting.
Friends?
Interesting. No, I don't think she'd make the cut.
Okay. I have no idea who Soraya is. Do you know?
Probably a model.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe not. I don't know. I have never heard of her. Gigi Hadid.
Yes. I think
Ellie Goulding.
Oh, interesting. I forgot about that. I guess
she's British.
Yeah.
Is she friends with Joe Alwyn?
She's friends with one of her exes. I feel like they've been like, who, where is Ellie Goulding?
Where is Ellie Goulding is a great question.
So no, I don't think she'll be there.
Okay. Martha Hunt.
Yes.
Because they're still friends, aren't they? Cara Delevingne.
That's interesting. I think yes, because she's been going to bat for her for some time.
Okay.
Or maybe she's just gunning for that invite.
I think Zendaya is not going.
Yeah.
I think she's another one, as with Beyonce, where if she got invited, I don't know if she'd say yes.
Well, I think Zendaya, like, distanced herself during the snake gate of it all. Like, she was like, yeah, we were never really friends. So I think that's dead. I think there's no love there.
Hayley Williams.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Okay. Lily Aldridge, another model.
I think they are, you know, I haven't heard of Lily and Taylor hanging out. I think she's her godmother.
Interesting.
That's another model I'm thinking of.
Okay, so Lily Aldridge is a maybe. Carly Kloss, we're going no. Jessica Alba. She was at the Super Bowl. She was with Bad Bunny. Is Bad Bunny getting an invite? I don't think Bad Bunny's going.
No, I don't think Jessica Alba will make the cut.
You know who will be there is Ice Spice, though.
Ice Spice will definitely be there.
Ice Spice will be there. Mariska Hargitay. I think yes.
Yeah,
for that.
I think she'll get an invite for sure.
Ellen Pompeo.
I mean, maybe. I don't know how celebrity relationships work.
Yeah. And then Cindy Crawford.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Please circle back to us and let us know how many of the Bad Blood music video cast make it to Taylor Swift's wedding.
Yeah.
I think maybe I should make a TikTok about this. I feel like this would be
That's the stuff. That's what matters most.
That's what people care about. Who from the Taylor Swift music video will be making it to her wedding?
Yeah.
Great questions. Okay, well, this has been a fun episode. It's gone almost as long as the movie itself.
And just as fun.
We'll be back next week to talk about another Taylor Swift, not Taylor Swift, Charli XCX property, because Wuthering Heights is back, and she's done the music for that, which will be coming out, I believe.
Both be done.
Yes, the music video and the movie come out on, or the music and the movie come out on Friday. So I'll be intrigued to listen
Not
and watch.
Not doing very well so far.
With reviews?
Yeah. But again, I think it says more about the reviewer than the actual piece. So
yes, I do think this is something that like public opinion could be either like very positive or very negative on, depending on
I think it's
vibes.
One of those one of those letterboxed like splits where it's like all one stars or all five stars and nothing yeah. in between, which yeah. is always fun.
Always a good time. Okay, well, thank you for recording this with me, and thanks everyone for listening, and we'll be back next week. Bye.